Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a jam-packed Thursday edition. Glad to be here with you. He's TJ Cleland. I'm Jacob Albrecht alongside Max Power in the studio producing for us. He's got the hotline at 869-1240, where we will be joined in about 10-15 minutes from now by Wichita State head men's basketball coach Paul Mills, a late addition to our regular Thursday lineup. Glad to have Coach Mills in. We'll get you ready for the Shocker basketball season and what he's seeing, what we can expect. So looking forward to that. We also have our regular Thursday guests, PJ Glasser, in to talk some bets with us, college and NFL, and Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, our K-State insider, will join and get us ready for the Sunflower Showdown on the K-State side of things. We had Trius Lottis yesterday on the KU side. So we'll get Fitz's take on the K-State side. All a part of the show today, including your thoughts, which are available again, 869-1240, or you can leave them via our video streams, which you'll find on Facebook, YouTube, X. Also, thanks to those watching us on 12 News Connected and listening to us on the Odyssey app. TJ, good morning. How are you day after Big 12 Media Day?
Hello. Yes, it's good. I got to talk hoops all day yesterday, a long day of talking to coaches and players, and then we fire back up this morning at 7 a.m. and keep talking to coaches with Coach Mills joining the show. But always a ton of fun up there. They still have the gray court with all the Roman numeral 12s on it rolled out, and I love it. I think that thing is sweet. I love that court.
That's too bad. It's fine. All of it, by the way, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Oztoberfest, the deeply copper-colored German-style lager that'll make you click your heels, grab your stein, and follow the copper brick road to the land of Oztoberfest. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. So it's all set up for you on the show today. What was the biggest thing you learned yesterday? What did you leave? You were thinking about what as you were driving back down to Wichita?
I don't know, man. I mean, everybody talked about Darren Peterson, and I mean, it was like you were completely correct about the amount of scrum around him and AJ DeBansta, but I mean, obviously with the local media as well, it was like, couldn't even see the table. Like, I got front and center because I got there early, so I was squeezed in real skinny in front of these guys trying to talk, and I mean, like, It was Trey White, Darren Peterson, and Flory Badunga, and I bet that Darren Peterson took the first 4.5 minutes of questions just from everybody about all the hype around him. And it's the same thing that I said yesterday, is that we've never seen Bill Self talk about a freshman like he's talked about Darren Peterson. We may have never seen Bill Self talk about a player not named KJ Adams like he's talked about Darren Peterson. It's crazy.
I'm just afraid it's a little too much hype.
I know.
It's the year following, of course, Cooper Flagg, which isn't doing him any favors. Cooper Flagg, probably the best freshman season, at least I can remember, most impactful freshman. So there's a lot there for Darren Peterson. We're going to learn a lot real quick on his makeup and character. On the K-State side, it was also centered around one guy, a guy that Jerome Tang called the best point guard in the country.
Yeah, it's actually a cool story. I'll tell you this one when we got some time here. He told a little anecdote about recruiting P.J. Haggerty. P.J. Haggerty came to a Baylor team camp or a summer camp or something like that whenever he was in eighth grade. Jerome Tang went up and was like, "Hey, man, like, you're a great player." And he said that he shook his hand, and P.J. Haggerty, the eighth grader, gave him a weak handshake and didn't look him in the eyes. And Jerome Tang stopped him and said, "You're going to squeeze my hand and you're going to look at me in the eyes and shake my hand like a man." And he said, "Because you're going to be really good at basketball and you're going to need to know how to do this." And then he tried to recruit him to Baylor, but they wanted him to be a red shirt because he wasn't, you know, to the level that he is now. So he said, "No, I don't want to do that." Went to Tulsa and played. And now all these years later, he was still in contact with him. And his mom remembered the story of the handshake and everything like that. And it came to fruition. And he said, "Man, sometimes the transfer portal is a great thing because I finally get to coach him."
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty funny. It's old school, and Tang is old school in those ways, right? Like, he is the coach that would do something like that. It's pretty fun to have him back there, and I really think they'll be a perfect fit. Darren Peterson will be a fit. It's going to be a fun and different, totally different basketball season, and it will be for the Shockers too. And we'll get into all of it with Paul Mills here in just a few minutes.
One more thing that was the overarching topic of every school, you know, every local media asked the question because it was just getting good reaction on social media, and it's an interesting topic. I don't know if you saw the video of Tom Izzo talking about the G League guys. So Louisville, and somebody else did too, I can't remember, but Louisville just signed a guy that played in the G League for last year, got cut, and isn't in the G League anymore, and now he's going back to college and playing. And the NCAA gave him 2 years of eligibility, and now there's like 10 or 15 guys that are all requesting waivers from the NCAA and trying to be eligible for next season to come play, or for this season to go play.
So they're trying to leave the G League and come to the NCAA?
Yes, because they didn't go to college. Like, they were either like overseas guys that went straight to the G League, or they were high school guys that went straight to the G League when that became legal. And every coach, or at least Jerome Tang and Bill Self, had the same reaction to it of saying, "Well, I don't want to knock anything because we're probably going to be recruiting these guys. But if you want my personal opinion, like, this is ridiculous." He's like, "Why are we doing this?" He's like, this is taking away the part of the game where you recruit the high school kids, even recruiting the portal kids, like, and taking their opportunities away to give it to a 24-year-old that's been playing against professionals for 2 years. And so it's like, there's been some gray area when you recruit the overseas guys because they play pro basketball by the time they're 16 years old. So they're, it's kind of different over there. But then it's like, well, that leaves the gray area open over here where it's like, well, the G League, it's not really pro basketball.
It's the same thing.
I mean, it's pro basketball, but like, you know, like,
it's the same. I mean, it's the same thing as the European situation. I don't know what the answer to that would be.
I don't think it is. I think that's the replacement for college in America.
Yeah, and there aren't a lot of guys doing it, but there are enough that, you know, you'd get some. I think probably they'll come up with something to where years in the G League count the same as a year of college eligibility, perhaps, and then it wouldn't make a huge difference probably at that point. If you spend 3 years in the G League, then you only have 1 year of college eligibility. But yeah, it is. But it's strange. But honestly, like, how is it any different than going over to Europe and catching a kid who's been playing pro basketball for a couple of years?
Because they're pro basketball. Like, you can, there's no college equivalent over there. Like, there is in America. Like, I think that the fact of, like, you play pro basketball, like Mate, that came to the Shockers last year, Mate Bochniak. He was playing by the time he was like 18 years old, and because that's just what, that's like their, like,
which is what you would AAU do in the G League circuit at 18 years old.
Right. Yeah, like it's like their AAU circuit in Europe, basically. Is that that's what they have. That's what they do. They play club basketball for that club. And there's different levels of it, too. He's not playing in these super high leagues or anything like that. And so I think that that's where the gray area is of the fact of, like, well, like, this is basically like him transferring from a European college to an American college. But in America, it's like you're going from being a step away from being called up to the NBA to college. Like, it's not the same thing.
It'd be, well, it would be like taking a minor league player in baseball and letting them re-enroll in college is what it would be like.
You can't, but, what's the difference between that? You can't do that.
Well, there, I don't think there is a difference in that, but I also don't think there's a difference in the European system either. Like, they're going to play pro ball. Like, they're not.
I'm not a fan of the European system either. I think that
I don't mind
more gray
it.
Area
I don't.
There.
I don't know what the answer is. The problem with the European system is they're playing it before they're even what our college age kid would be anyway. So it's not like they're graduating high school and then going. They're going when they're like 15 years old, which is also sort of like our minor league baseball system, right? Some guys sign super, super young. It's an interesting thing. I'll have to spend some time and think about that. I don't know how I feel about that yet. All right, let's take a quick break. Paul Mills is going to call in and join us here when we return on Sports Daily. We'll get you ready for Shocker Basketball, which starts very soon. It's coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. from more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Got to get more insider than Wichita State Edmonds basketball coach Paul Mills joining the show now. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here. Coach, welcome in. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. You're giving me a little bit too much credit having inside information. There's some days I don't know what in the world is going on. But
it's funny. Inside baseball, I just messaged Max and it was about 5 seconds too late. I was like, oh, we don't need the insider bump. We have some insiders on the show and we play that for them all. Of course, we're not looking for inside information, just information with head coach Paul Mills here. Coach, we appreciate it. I know it's
you
been
bet.
A busy, crazy, chaotic time of year. You guys have practices. You're at two-a-days, but we're just a little more than a week away from the start of this thing. As fans, I'm sure, are asking you every time that you see them, hey, what does this team look like? What does this team look like? Like, what's the simplest way you can sum up this group of new players for Shocker fans?
Yeah, I don't know if you know Brent Chemnitz at all, but the legendary baseball coach there at Wichita State and was with Coach Stevenson all those years. But he advised me, this was about a month ago, he says, if anybody asks about the team, just say, we are going to be unbelievable. So I'll just tell you, I think we're going to be unbelievable. There's some days I don't know what necessarily to believe. Hey, is our physicality good enough? I do think, and we were the best rebounding team a year ago, and based upon the exhibition games we've had, and it really didn't matter. You know, in the first one, we played all 15. To be honest with you, in the second one, we played all 15. We just didn't distribute the minutes in the same way. We were weighted heavily more towards the top eight of the rotation. But I will tell you, we've done a really good job on the glass. And so I think when people come and watch us, they will see a team that it's going to translate on the glass. And the other thing we've done well, and this is Santa Clara is a good team. I think they're predicted in the top four of the WCC there behind Gonzaga and St. Mary's. But they applied a lot of pressure, but we have taken care of the ball. And so, you know, we talk quite a bit about we need to rebound the ball, we need to take care of the ball, and we need to share the ball. And the ball movement was a lot better in our second exhibition game than it was in our first. But when you watch us, you'll say, you know what, they do a good job at limiting teams to one shot. They can retrieve basketballs and keep possessions alive, so they're good on the glass. And, you know, we've done a good job of taking care of it.
Coach, let me tell you, I've got a newfound respect for your waking up in the wee hours of the morning and grinding film from waking up and doing this morning show. Now, you're a different kind of animal for that. Speaking of this Santa Clara game, it was more of the secret scrimmage rather than the public scrimmage that we saw against Drake. So no box score, no fans are watching that one. Do you walk away? I'm not going to ask if you won or lost, but do you walk away happier or you know, more things to work on than you did of Drake?
Well, there's always things to work on, as you know, and TJ, I will tell you that 7:20 is late. So, I mean, if this is early, what are we doing here? I walked away out of there really optimistic. Now, again, we've been exposed in a number of areas, and we've been able to clean that up. We haven't shot it really well from the free throw line. And I don't know if it's an anomaly or, you know, just looking at practice stats, we've done it a lot better than what we have in the two exhibitions. But our aggressiveness has got us there to give you an indication. We shot 43 free throws in 36 minutes against Santa Clara, and we only made 25 of them. So, we just didn't deliver at the rate that we needed to. And we didn't do a good job in Drake of defending without fouling. We fouled way too much, and it was just discipline and really just errors that a lot of new guys coming on the court were committing. But, you know, I walk out of that Santa Clara very optimistic, and, you know, there's some areas that you got to clean up. And the big one, the one carryover for Drake and Santa Clara, is we have to get out to the three-point line and defend it a lot better than what we did. So I think all of that to say I walk out, I'm extremely optimistic. Feel like we're going to be good. The question is can we do the things that are needed to be great? And we talk quite a bit about we need to make sure that we are operating in the 95% of the game. If you ever think about the game, let's say somebody plays 40 minutes. If you're not the point guard, you may have the ball in your hands a total cumulatively of about a minute. And you need to be, hey, I'm 20 minutes on defense, 20 minutes on offense. You're going to touch the ball for 2 or 3 seconds on a possession. And the 95%, when you don't have the ball, we have to get guys dialed in on that aspect of the game and operate within that 95%. To be honest with you, just having some of the veterans that we do, we've got 8 juniors and seniors. Those guys get it, and then we've got some younger guys who are coming around.
Yeah, the older guys on the team feel like, you know, that's got to be a good start to good place to start as a coach, because some of that stuff you just don't learn without time, right? Is hopefully, I guess, as you're recruiting these guys, a little more naturally ingrained. The attitude of this team is something we've kind of heard the buzz about. I assume that's something you guys will be pleased to show off to Shocker fans, the backbone of this team, as it will.
Yeah, there is a character to this team that, you know, willing to put in the work, willing to absorb hard coaching, willing to embrace difficult moments. And, you know, this didn't just start 4 weeks ago when practice officially started. They've actually been doing this since June. And we have I heard Will Berg speak and just talk about, you know, how would you characterize this team? And he said hungry, and I would agree with him. Like, we have a hungry group. We have a group that itching to prove themselves. And, you know, for whatever reason, the transfers, some of them were trying to level up. And, hey, I was good at this level. I want to see if I can do it at a different. And then the others didn't get the time that they believe they should have been afforded. For a variety of reasons. One, they may not have been good enough at that particular place, or two, you know, in Will Berg's situation, he had some guy named Zach Edey in front of him. And so, you know, just finding a place that you see a lot of hunger in this group to go out and prove themselves. And not only do you have to think about proving yourselves individually, you have to think about it collectively. And I do think that there is a collective hunger.
Coach, whenever people have asked me about what this team is going to be this upcoming year, first of all, I'll start telling them that you're going to be unbelievable and take Brent's advice there. But I say that The biggest difference is the fact that, you know, for the last, you know, even before you got here, last 4 years or so, it's been a lot of, you know, downhill offense, a lot of defense, everything of that nature. And there hasn't been a ton of outside threat. But, you know, from what we've seen in the open practice and the open scrimmage and the box score, you know, Kenyon Giles, you know, Mike Gray, Brian Amunique, you've got guys that'll put them up from outside, it sounds like.
Can really, you know, there's been moments. I mean, Kenyon Giles, I think he had 14 points in a row in about a 3-minute stretch when we were at Santa Clara. And he said over there, you know, there'd have been times in the past where I would have looked back and, like, he's having quite the day. But to be honest, like, there wasn't much of a reaction from our staff or little bit from players, but not much from our staff. It's kind of like pretty normal for him. You know, he's making some shots, and we kind of see it every day. And Mike can make shots. Brian can make shots. You know, we have guys on the perimeter who can make shots. And we have some guys. I think we've got better at our spacing on account of the shooting gravity that we can put on the court and having guys who can make perimeter shots. And it's one of those things where we're not going to be reliant on a three ball, but we are capable of kind of putting it together. You know, defense is going to tell you who won the game. Offense is going to tell you by how much. And, you know, there's days that our defense has been solid, and there's been days when it's been, you know what, we've been elite here in these particular actions and in these moments. But there are some times where we have some guys who can really stretch it, and they can get it rolling quite a bit.
I think that's good for fans to hear. I know fans want that. The other thing that fans probably want, Coach, and I know you guys do too.
To be honest with you.
Say that again.
It's good for coaches to hear, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, making shots is key, right? And that's something I know you guys have targeted hard. I think something else that stands out that I know you guys are chomping at the bit, and it's funny that the conference schedules come out and you guys get to start with a couple on the road and a tough road grind to begin with, but that stretch has been so key for the last couple of years. Do you guys talk about that at all with new players on what that American grind is like and what it's been like the last couple of years and the expectation going into it for this group?
Yeah, we actually were showing film of road games and yesterday during our film session and just showing through how the level of physicality, and I know what you think is a foul, guys, but you know, we may get that call in Coke Arena, but I can tell you right now, you're not getting it in Birmingham on when we open up there, and you're not getting it at, you know, name the venue across the league. You're not getting it there. And that ability, you do try to get it ingrained in them pretty early, the mindset you have to have in order to be good enough and to win road games. But it is something that we talk about. It's something that you kind of have to have a vision for to make sure your players understand it. You can't talk about this 2 or 3 days before you play that game. So we do find ourselves dealing with this quite a bit. And our GAs are terrific, but they're not, they don't get paid to referee. So our players kind of go through it every day of not getting calls and having to fight through and having the right mindset. And to be honest with you, I mean, there's been moments where we've had to, you know, have a pretty hard hand on these guys about their approach, but it's getting better.
Coach, I'll leave this one open-ended for you. You always find a way to shock us with some random stat out of your back pocket. The KenPom rankings preseason came out. What random stat do you expect this team to have a lot of experience in, and what do they need to thrive in this year to make Paul Mills happy?
Well, it's funny that you should say that because I'm actually staring at KenPom right now.
I knew it.
As you know, before I ever got on this interview, the key stat that I pay attention to when I look at KenPom is wins and losses. And so I just try to see, did we win or did we lose? So that's kind of the over. I mean, there's things that impact that, rebounding the ball. You know, if you've ever looked at KenPom, they have what they call the four factors. And it's, you know, how well are you defending the other team's shot? You know, obviously, if they're making a lot of them, you're not going to be in that kind of game. How many rebounds are they getting? You know, so if they're able to extend possessions, you're in trouble. How often are you giving the ball to the other team? That's pretty significant. And then can you defend without fouling? So, I mean, there's been a litany of studies throughout the years on what are the key things that teams can kind of lock in order to decide the predictability of a game. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, us being the best rebounding team last year in our league allowed us to compensate for our lack of shooting. And we need to continue to be a great rebounding team. We were the best team in our league at defending without fouling. That needs to continue. We haven't done a great job of it during the exhibition. And then at the same time, we need to take care of the basket of the ball. And so we are going to rebound the ball, and we're going to take care of the ball. And I think if I walk out of a game, like, you feel good about those things, if you're in the plus category there.
Last one for you, Coach. KenPom, I think, has you guys sixth in the American. The pollsters had it fifth. I believe that's from the coaches. Do you have any doubt about the attitude of this team wanting to prove everybody wrong? I know they're hungry. Is there that shocker chip on the shoulder when you guys see stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, wherever you were going to be chosen during this, you know, whether it be Kim Palm or the coaches' opinions or the media opinions or whatever, everybody's fighting for the same thing, right? We're all fighting for a conference championship. You're trying to make sure, and we need to be in that race. We have not gotten out of the gate, not only during my first 2 years here, but, you know, I think back to the teams that been able to win conference championships of teams that I've been a part of. And we got out of the gate pretty well. We established ourselves pretty early, and you're able to kind of get some momentum. And we have not, during my 2 years here, we have not gotten out of the gate well. And we need to do that, but that's going to be contingent upon us being able to rebound and take care of the basketball.
Coach, we appreciate it. You're a baseball guy. Can't let you go without asking who you've got in the World Series, Dodgers, Blue Jays.
Well, you know, your Rangers are out. My Astros are out. Mm. I don't really pay attention. I enjoy watching Ohtani. It's pretty incredible some nights. And I don't pay that much attention, but it's hard for me to root for the Dodgers. George Springer, I guess there's a former Astro on the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, no, that's the reason not to root for.
But it's I don't really have an opinion here.
Okay.
I do enjoy the competitive nature of it, though.
Yeah, it was a sad baseball year. I'm right there with you. Coach, we appreciate it. We know it's a crazy time. Shocker basketball starts up. You can go see them the next opportunity. Tuesday, a week from this Tuesday, November 4th against UNC Asheville, GoShockers.com to get your tickets. Coach, we appreciate it. Keep them in there. Keep them working hard.
TJ, Jacob, thank you guys.
There goes Paul Mills, Wichita State. Men's basketball coach in a year, TJ. I think you're feeling it too. I know there is a buzz. I don't know what it is. I can't really define it for people. But it does seem like it's there to me, which is really interesting because of the turnover on the roster. You wouldn't have thought that, you know, 7-8 months ago, but now it kind of like, I think people are kind of feeling good about this group.
Yeah. There's a lot of excitement that's been building, and I think it's been there. It's just the matter of, like you said, they've just sputtered out of the gates and it's just made itself go away because there wasn't anything to, you know, really get up for, except for, you know, trying to beat Memphis and trying to beat, you know, K-State whenever those games happen. They packed the place for those. I think that there's just a lot of excitement. Like, I don't think that people knew this whenever the excitement was beginning to brew. I think there was just a lot of look at the roster of just a lot of newness and, you know, that can go one or two ways. And I think that everybody's being optimistic about it. But I think that as they've learned more and more, you know, Kenyon Giles is going to be one of the best players in the conference. He's going to be, you know, one of the best scorers in the country, it sounds like. I mean, you just heard him say he scored 14 points in 3 minutes. In a row against Santa Clara. So that tells you a little bit about that. There's a lot of guys that are going to be able to score the ball, and I think that that's a big difference from what we've seen in years past, and that can translate really well to the American Conference.
Yes, the start of the conference season has been the thing that has bit them in the behind, at least in the Paul Mills era. And we sit there and we wonder, because each of the last 2 years, it's been great starts to the regular season. And then really slow starts to the postseason. Is that the difference, do you think, in a totally different? Because I kind of think it is. Like, it's those for what we did. I did the math sometime in the off season. TJ, it was like, what are they, like 1-11 the last 2 years combined to start AAC play, something crazy like that. And if you just flip that around and win half those games, we're talking about totally different outcomes. So it's interesting with a new group to think about, like, how do you even convey the message to people that weren't here for it? Like, guys, like, we cannot, like, let everything must lead to us getting off to a fast start in conference play.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's detrimental of the starts that they've had, and it immediately just wipes everything off the table. And I mean, even in these 2 years, you know, they've slipped. Last year, they slipped to, you know, UMKC, And that, you know, knocked them down a peg. You know, in that non-conference, there was a time that first year, I mean, they won like 9 straight. And it was like, wow, like they're going to have something going into this year. And then, you know, they get into conference play and this optimism is still kind of high and everything like that. And then the losing streak started there. So, but both years, I mean, they found ways to win big games. They found ways to, especially last year, I mean, they found ways to right the ship. Like during the final month of the season, they were one of the best teams in the American Conference. They were, you know, I think did they go into overtime against Memphis in the
and it's
third?
Been it's I mean, been this way
right
for,
there of beating them again.
It's been this way for 2 years, right? Like this has been it's been the same story for 2 years now. We've seen the same thing is they have been this great team, and you just look back to those starts to conference play, and it's like, well, what the hell, right? Like where was this? And so if they can eliminate that, that's got to be the top priority. And I think all the other intricate details, the things we talked about, shooting the basketball, and they shot 30% from three last year. That is not good. They're going to have to hopefully get better at that and do those things well. But we'll have more with the Shockers. Maybe one more visit. We'll see ahead of that opener again a week from Tuesday, if you can believe that. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every day here on KFH. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. It did get out yesterday. Boy, I got to tell you, like the ability to just go play 9 holes in an hour, and I think it was an hour and 5 minutes yesterday while the weather was nice. I mean, it was near perfect golfing weather, to be perfectly honest with you. Is something that if you're a golf fan, you got to give them a call and find out about. There's 36 holes. This time of year, you can get out there and let it rip. And there's all kinds of fun events as well. If you're not into the golf, it's a great place for the family. Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. All right, TJ, we'll use those as a transition to switch to a story that is developing very much this morning. It's not even 8 a.m., and we have both Terry Rozier, the guard for the Miami Heat, arrested this morning as part of an FBI sports betting gambling probe. Cash Patel, the new FBI lead, is going to have a press conference on then at 9 a.m. So we're like, oh, man, there's that. And then things escalate quickly because about 15 minutes after that, Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups arrested by the FBI for alleged illegal gambling. Here we go.
That's nuts. It's insane the developments that have come out about this over the past few years. And it's like the evidence is just the fact of guys like playing badly or something like that, which is the most ridiculous part of all this stuff. And so it's nuts that guys do this and think that they can just sneak away with it if it's actually something that they can prove that happened and everything of that nature. But it's nuts. I mean, and then the college part that came out yesterday. Did you see that news that they passed that the NCAA athletes can now bet on pro sports?
Just not their own sport. Or can they bet on college sports at all?
They can't bet on college sports, but they can bet on pro sports. So that had approved from D2 and D3 athletic directors, and it did. So now Division I athletes only, I believe, only Division I athletes can bet on. I don't know. I might be wrong about that now that I'm saying that out loud. They can bet on pro sports, though. And so that arises the whole argument of the fact of like, hey, man, like Will Howard was a roommate with this guy a year ago.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I really can't come up with an opinion on it. I mean, I don't think that I like it, but at the same time, as I see things like what we're seeing this morning, an NBA head coach arrested, that tells me that, like, that was going to be happening anyway, right? Like, if a head coach is willing to throw it all away, and a guy with the stature of Chauncey Billups is willing to throw it all away to make some bets, he was going to find a way to bet, right? Like, whether it was through a bookie, whatever. I'm not sure the ease of it is going to make him more inclined to do it. I could be wrong about that. And I also don't know that it was ever easier for authorities to track than it is right now. Like when we see these things and you hear about how guys are trying to bet, and there's been no accusation of like point shaving But the FBI is involved, so there probably will be. You know, the league could come in and say, we're just suspending somebody or we're kicking them out. And the FBI is making arrests, which tells you there's nefarious things happening. But it feels to me like that stuff's going to happen anyway. Like, guys aren't just, oh, now I've got an app on my phone. Now I'm going to make that decision. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the books have existed for a long time. So that's kind of where I have a hard time with it and go back a little bit. The college thing, the thing that bothers me about the college thing is we're so much more inclined to do stupid things when we're younger. Uh-huh. And like, not every, like, Chauncey Billups, a multi-millionaire as a player and coach. He's making a choice not for the money necessarily. Right? So that is something that's different than college kids who are trying to find ways to maybe make a little extra money. And so I don't understand the need for that unless they're just saying it's so hard to police. They're citizens. They're not under contract with us. We can't, you know, we can't tell them it's the, so I don't know on the college thing. I always wonder if the apps, now there's like, because I think there's plenty of research now that would tell you the ease of the betting has been bad. Like, let's say for a gambling addict, right? Like, that has, would certainly do that. But, you know, do you punish everybody for bad actors because Chauncey Billups is, you know, doing something wrong? Is that bad for everybody else who's having fun and doing it the right way? Like, does an alcoholic need to prevent the entire society from needing to be able to drink responsibly? I'm not like making a call on any of that. I'm just like saying it out loud is like the things that we think about when we do this stuff, because we're going to have a betting insider on in the next hour. Like, I love to bet football and it's fun. And, you know, like, betting $5 at a time or whatever is a great time to me, and it's enjoyable, and I think people have a good time with it. And of course, it gets taken over, you know, too far, and so I struggle with it a lot. I don't know on the college part. I guess we're just going to see it because
you're completely right about the college part, and they came out. I mean, they basically came out and said it. It's the fact of like, we can't punish everybody that's doing this because it's it's the same thing with you know, the arguments of the tortillas, even we'll bring it back to that. It's like, so right. Many people are doing it. We have no choice. Like, that's what the college athletics betting thing is turned
when it's
into.
It's not illegal, right? It's just against their own internal rules.
Yeah. And so the NCAA has basically come out. I don't know if they came out and said it directly, but they said something along the language of the fact of like, we can't do anything about this anymore. So we might as well just let them do it. Like, we're not going to tell people not to do it. If, you know, 30% of the athletes are doing it anyways, we'll just let them do it.
Well, and betting on your own sport obviously brings it. That one's obvious. Like, you can't, yeah. We can't do that, right? The integrity of the game. It's tough too. And I would imagine there's a component of losing every legal battle. If somebody said, well, how can you tell me I can't do this thing that's legal? It gets into some really weird, like, gray legal areas. Like, I can have a work contract that says I can't, I believe this is correct. You can have a work contract that says you can't smoke pot if you live in a state that allows smoking pot, mm-hmm. because there's still a federal law on the books. So, like, there's always challenges possible out there. At some point, some kid could say, well, you can't tell me that I can't bet on an NFL game because I'm 18 years old and I can bet on an NFL game. And then they'll say, well, that's against our rules. And then it gets back into that. Well, I'm not under, like, show me my work contract. Show me where I signed up for that. And like, none of the other students on campus have that in their scholarship. So it, like, it's dicey. So I get just saying, oh boy. But then it goes back to my point originally of like, Does having the access, like, does it make it easier for them to stop it? Like, is it easier for the FBI to crash now somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing through an app or through a, you know, backdoor bookie? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it matters. I don't think it had anything to do with the app. I think that there's different, like, There's the video. You remember the?
Well, we're gonna find out on this NBA deal.
Well, yeah, we will. Do you remember the MLB pitcher? What's his name? The Guardians pitcher. They got caught for illegal betting. Basically, what was his name? Luis, something like that. I don't know. One of their starters, and then Clase got banged with it too. And it's because of the fact of like odd moments of what you're like. Right. And theirs was like the first pitch to be a ball in the fifth inning, and then he spiked it in the dirt. And so you can tell when these things happen because of what happens on the field or on the court. It's not like if I had to take a stab at this, which I have no idea what I'm talking about, it's going to be his Uncle Joe is betting. Like, he's not dumb enough to make an account and say,
but now they can track. That's what I'm saying. They can track that now through the apps a little easier, right? Like,
but they can't, I mean, they can't tell that it's Terry Rozier though. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's how everybody, you know, tries to get away with this.
No, they can because they have all your personal information. They can tell it's somebody associated with every time it feels like these get caught. It's because somebody was trying to use another person to go make their bets for them. And then they just simply make the connection, track it down, and then it gets a little easier. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, does that make it easier for them to catch the bad actors than, you know, Butch around the corner, you know, behind six doors saying, hey, we want you to put one in the dirt in the fifth inning. You know what I mean? Like, how do you track that? So I'm just throwing it out there. I have no idea, but it does seem like we catch more of this now that it's more easy to do it. And so my question is, are we catching more because it's happening more because of the ease, or are we catching more because it's easier to catch more now with the technology?
Maybe both.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, by the way. I just like, that's what I always think about. Like, which is it? Gosh, dang. That's crazy. All right. We'll come back. I don't know if we'll get any more information before the end of the show. If we do, we'll try and cram it in. We have another hour packed with guests. Sports Daily on campaign. All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another hour of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you. Let's get you started with an opportunity to win an iced tea from HTO for free. All you have to do is enter our text to win contest by texting the keyword tea, that's TEA, to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, more than 25 flavors to choose from. At either East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby's location, you can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. We come back in for another hour here. We'll have PJ Glasser, our betting insider. We'll talk about all the football lines coming up this weekend. That is in just a little bit here. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, gopowercat.com, is also going to stop by. We'll get the K-State side of the Sunflower Showdown, keys to the game there. Get his thought on K-State hoops now, a day following Media Day, and any other topics that we might see fit. That's all coming for you. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer that's made with actual pumpkin and served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. It is not lost on me that we're talking betting. We're going to talk betting on the morning that we're seeing arrests for gambling. Now, we may have jumped the gun a little bit on this, TJ. ABC News is reporting that the arrest of Chauncey Billups, Portland Trailblazers head coach, former Detroit Pistons great, that has to do with an illegal poker operation tied to the mafia.
Oh.
ABC News is reporting. So maybe
it's different. It's different than Rozier.
Yeah. But the ABC News is also saying that Rozier was arrested in a separate but related betting case. So I don't know what's going on here. But it does, like, this is kind of what I was saying. And Andrew said that I pulled a hamstring with that stretch earlier. Let me try again.
I love it.
I don't know where I fall on it. What I'm trying to, like, the question I always ask myself is, does the emerging technology and putting the betting, you know, more mainstream, does it lead to more bad actors? We know that it leads to more betting. Right. And for some people, that's a problem. And I get that. And I'm not, you know, insensitive to that. I totally understand it. And I hate it for a lot of people. What I wonder is, does it make any more or less bad actors, which is different than, you know, somebody with a gambling problem? I'm talking about people on a criminal level. Does it make it easier to catch them, or does it increase or decrease? Does it change it at all? Because I'm going to guess that an illegal poker game tied to the mafia probably doesn't have anything to do with, you know, a sports betting app. But
yeah.
we'll find out apparently in about an hour. They're going to have, and this sounds like one, if you've got, what did I read, Kash Patel, who's the head of the FBI now, who's like, if you've got the heads of departments out there going to say, like, somebody's looking to dunk on somebody here, right? There's some of that you're going to have leaders looking to, you know, wear badges of honor on this one. So who knows what's going to happen here in the next hour or so.
Yeah, it's a wild story. I don't really understand all the stuff of it.
Well, we don't get it. They haven't said anything just yet. So
it is problematic of all the stuff. I know Rick brought up a good point here that everybody talks about as well, is that LeBron's a sponsor for DraftKings. There's a lot of hypocrisy in this stuff. The Kansas City Chiefs walked down a giant hallway down to the field with DraftKings logos all over
it. But what's the hypocrisy?
I mean, just the fact of like the leagues taking all this sponsorship money and everything like that, and then just throwing down such, like, you know, just shoving it everywhere and then getting in trouble with all the stuff that comes out about their athletes doing it and everything of that sort and all that. And so
you ever seen a league or a stadium promote an alcoholic beverage?
They do. I mean, it's not illegal for players to drink beer.
Is it illegal for people to drink seven of them at the stadium and then get in their car and drive home?
I mean, that is.
So, like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we going to say that they shouldn't take money from DraftKings because some people have a gambling problem?
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's that. I mean, it's just the fact of, like, there once was a line that it was like the sports leagues would just turn the eye to that. And just say, like, sure, we're not going to associate ourselves with that at all because of the danger that that could bring to our sport. And now the Chiefs every week post a graphic about what the line is on their game. And so it's
I get it. To me, like, at some point, and I'm not saying, like, oh, just everybody should just do whatever they want because good people are going to make good decisions about it. That's not what I'm saying because I'm not that naive. I'm just trying to say the NFL shouldn't take money from the betting sites is like saying they shouldn't take money from a beer sponsor.
Because some people are going
to abuse it, right? And I get it. And you have to trust the laws. Like, the NFL is not the police. It's not their job to make sure that there aren't illegal poker games or whatever.
Yeah, that's a different thing. Yeah, that's not the same thing at all.
It's not their job to prevent somebody from going to a player and saying, we want you to take a dive. Is that the NBA's problem? Or is that the law's problem? Is that the FBI's problem?
I mean, right? We've talked about it. I mean, this has been a thing. And so, I mean, it's, I don't know. There's a weird line.
The law says people can bet. So they're not like, the law says people can drink. The law said, so, you know, guess what's going to happen? If all of a sudden federally we allow smoking weed and everybody can do it, guess who's going to take sponsorships from companies that sell weed? You know what I mean? Like, it's not the league's job to make sure that there's not illegal gambling. It's the law's enforcement's job to make sure there's not illegal gambling because gambling's legal in these places where you see the ads.
Yep.
So I just don't understand. I don't understand that specific argument. Like, oh my gosh, an NBA coach is arrested for gambling. They should, you know, like, that's not, like, the law says it's legal. So what is the league?
I think the biggest argument, I think, I don't think it's the fact of its sponsorships and that stuff. I think the more so the fact of, like, I mean, you can't turn on ESPN anymore and not see a line somewhere because of the level that it's grown to.
And ESPN owns a dang book.
I know. And I mean, I think that's part of, I mean, I said, like, the Chiefs, the NFL teams, like, will post out graphics about, like, hey, here's what the over under is this week. Like, hey, here's what the Travis Kelce's line on receptions is. And then it's like, I mean, it's everywhere. Like, I mean, it used to be such a taboo thing, I feel like, that, like, you could be an NFL player and literally have no idea. Now, I mean, it's probably near impossible to not know what the line is on your game that weekend, you know? And so, like, that's the part that I think it's gotten to this point for.
Andrew has more thoughts, and Andrew likes to talk in complicated sentences, so I'm going to try to understand this here. He says the comparison between alcohol, which is possible indirect impact on outcomes, and gambling possible direct impact on outcomes. And he means outcomes of games, I assume. Sponsors is perhaps intentionally by me disingenuous. I'm not being disingenuous. I like to bet sports. I mean, I like to bet sports. So the outcome we're talking about here that I'm using the example of alcohol is bad decisions and bad outcomes come a lot of times from drinking alcohol. And you can't walk three steps in an NFL stadium without having alcohol on your face. You can't watch a football game without seeing a beer commercial. Okay. So why then should we be surprised? But alcohol is a legal thing that people can do. Why then would we be surprised that betting, which is a legal thing that people can do, that the league would take a sponsorship dollar from that? It's like, whose responsibility is it here is the whole point I'm trying to make. And again, I'll say this, and I said this in the last hour. I don't know the answer to this question that I'm asking. I'm just asking the question. I don't know how I feel about it, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think I like this new college rule that's coming out because younger people it's why we don't let, 14-year-olds smoke cigarettes, right? Young people make dumb decisions.
What we could see out of this, you have to be 21 to bet in most states, at least. A lot of college athletes aren't 21.
Yeah. Yeah. And Andrew, again, he thinks he's very smart. Keep cashing those gambling sponsor checks. You tell me where they are. I'd love to, but they don't exist here. I don't have any gambling sponsor checks, but I like to bet sports. Do you like to bet sports, TJ?
I do.
What percentage of the listeners of this show would you say like to be able to bet sports? Because I would say probably about 80%.
Yeah, I was going to say like 75% probably.
Yeah, which is why we talk about the betting aspect of sports, because we think it's fun.
The biggest argument here is the fact that I think it's the fact that it's just become such a prevalent issue that the players are now aware of it, and it's all over stadiums and it's all over everything, and the players have the direct outcome, which Andrew's point. They have the direct outcome to realize this. I mean, it's the same
thing.
They can.
Yeah, you're right. They can. And that's the biggest thing. The very first question I asked is, is it easier for authorities to catch the bad actors or not? That's just my curiosity, wondering that. I don't have the answer because I don't have I know that the access is a problem for people with a gambling addiction. That we do know. We know we have enough information and research on that. Is it a problem to create more point shaving, basically? I don't know that. We see it more now because they catch it more, right? They can track this stuff through these apps. What does that mean, that there's more of it? I genuinely and honestly don't know if there's more of it now. I have no idea. Because I think there was probably, unfortunately and uncomfortably, a lot of it before we did this, and we just didn't know.
All right, let's make this awkward segue.
The transition. Our betting insider, PJ Glasser, jumps in. We're going to talk sports lines with the football weekend coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, if you're looking for the best props and games to lay your money down on from BetMGM, here's KFH's betting insider, PJ Glesser.
Oh, the fun irony, perhaps, of PJ's visit just about a half hour after Chauncey Billups is arrested for some sort of gambling and Terry Rozier. It's been an interesting last couple of segments, PJ's. We're trying to like understand what's happening. And it's a wild time in your industry with news like that. We are joined by PJ Glesser, host of Send It In and Betting Inside, Inside the Betting Lines on BetMGM Network. PJ, how are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing good, guys. I have to dive deeper into the story, kind of just seeing like, you know, the Schefters of the world and all those kind of guys tweeting out about everything. But certainly wild with Rozier and Billups and what's going on. And I think this is the fear of all the commissioners of all the leagues, right? Is with betting, rapidly increasing and everything that these coaches and players are getting involved in these kinds of things, which is obviously, you know, terrible.
The question for me that I'm trying to pose, maybe I'm not doing it eloquently enough, is do we just know about it more now because the technology makes it easier to track? Was this always happening? Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
And ABC's reporting that Billups is tied to a poker game. So maybe we're jumping the gun a little bit. We'll wait for the information in the news. But we are going to talk some betting. We are going to talk some lines. It's a big one for us around here, PJ. It's Sunflower Showdown Week. Of course, a series that's been dominated by K-State in recent years. I don't recall in any of those years KU being favored, but that's what they are this year at home by 3. When you look at the Sunflower Showdown from an outsider's perspective, we'll call it, what do you see in this one?
Yeah, you know, I think Kansas should be favored in the game. I think they're pretty comparable teams. I would make the Jayhawks a little bit better team, so I think it makes sense. The total is what I'm looking at, guys. I think it's going to be a shootout. I like the over. You have both teams coming off a bye. K-State's offense has been much better. I would expect Kansas to have some success against this K-State defense as well. So, you know, you give both of these coaches time to prepare. They're both healthy. And both defenses, you can definitely attack. I mean, we saw Texas Tech run all over Kansas. I think K-State could have some success on the ground, try and use Avery's legs a little bit. And then on the flip side, you know, Leipold's team, since he's been there, they're usually good at home. His offenses usually score. So I think both teams get into the 30s, you guys. I think it's going to come down to the wire. This will be a close game, but I do like the over 56.5.
Yeah, I'd agree, PJ. This feels like one that KU should be favored in, but this series always brings out the weirdest endings to games, so I wouldn't be shocked in the slightest if K-State finds a way to get it done. The last two have become like a fumble and a last-second touchdown and a 50-yard field goal and everything weird within that. We'll talk about both of those teams' rivals, Mizzou. They're going on the road to a place that's hosting College Game Day this week. And Vanderbilt, they are top 10 in the country and favored against number 15 Mizzou by 2.5 is the line that I've got here. Is Vanderbilt for real?
They are for real. The problem for Vandy is Mizzou is also for real, TJ. So this is going to be a good game. I like Mizzou outright, fellas. You know, I think a lot of people – what's interesting about this game is Vanderbilt was a 2.5-point favorite last week against LSU, right? I think a lot of people talking about that game were, wow, Vandy's a favorite against LSU. Like, do we really want to lay the points? Is Vandy really for real yet? And now off of just one game, and think about how LSU's season has kind of unfolded, right? We all thought that Clemson win week one was going to be one of the best in the country. Turned out not to be great. The Florida win hasn't aged well. Like, LSU really hasn't beaten anybody. So, again, give Vandy credit for a really good win. But I think people, they're looking at this Vandy team a little differently. And because of that, I see some value here on Missouri. And I've seen it a bunch, you guys, where you have a team like Vandy who's having an incredible story. They're starting to get all these national headlines, game days there, and then they end up losing the game. So Missouri's run defense, I think, is going to be able to keep Pavia and Vanderbilt in check a little bit. And I think their offense with Ahmad Hardy, who's been struggling on the ground the last couple games, is going to be able to get going. So it's going to be a good game. Going to be close. I like Missouri to win it, though.
It's interesting, this slate this week, there's only that one and two others featuring two ranked teams. One of them's Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Oklahoma faces quarterback. Right, is Mateer there? I assume so. Is he healthy? We don't know. But they are favored at home. Ole Miss coming off that loss. What do you like here?
I like the under in the game. If I had to pick a side, I would go Oklahoma only on the money line. I don't really want to lay 5.5 with the Sooners, but I do like them to win. I think they're a good money line parlay piece. The reason I like the under is, you know, Oklahoma is 7-0 to the under this season. They're actually a great under team because their defense is so good and Mateer is such a good player, but Oklahoma doesn't score as many points as you think they do. And Ole Miss Georgia was a shootout last week, but Georgia's defense is not what we're accustomed to seeing. Their secondary has really struggled this season. I think on the road, this is the best defense Ole Miss has played all season. The other good defense they played was LSU, and that game was 24-19. I think this game is going to be very similar to that. You're going to see both teams being able to get stops. Both teams are going to punt the football. I think this game is going to be played in the 20s. So I think 54.5 is too high. I like the under in that game. I do think Oklahoma wins, but I don't want to lay 5.5 with them. You know, I think this game is going to be similar to the game they played against Auburn, where it feels like Ole Miss is the right side, but maybe Oklahoma covers at the end. I just take money line in the game.
PJ, I'll throw these two at you just for fun, just because I think that they're funny. Oklahoma State at Texas Tech is an underdog by 37.5 points this weekend, and Wisconsin is going to Oregon as 31.5 point underdogs. These were two like pretty major football programs like 5 years ago, and now they're favorite or they're underdogs by almost 40 points. Is that an insane line, or is Texas Tech good enough to cover that line against Oklahoma State?
Man, you know what's funny? In college sports, usually in football and basketball, I actually look for matchups like Texas Tech and Oklahoma State when you have the worst team in the league versus the best team in the league. And usually the worst team in the league ends up covering a lot. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'm going to bet it, but I would lean towards Oklahoma State in that game. Wisconsin's actually taken some money. This was like 34.5. Now it's all the way down to 31.5. And I noticed in college football, like the line movement on those big spread games, they usually are right. They're usually indicative of who's going to cover. So if you get a big spread like this and you see some line movement of 3 or 4 points and it doesn't mean, and you might think, oh, that doesn't mean anything, it tends to mean a lot. So I'll be interested to see if the line keeps going back and forth. But if Wisconsin continues to take money, I would look towards the Badgers. They cannot score. That's their problem. So if Wisconsin covers, it's got to be like a 31-3 kind of game. There's a reason both teams are big dogs, but I would actually in both games kind of lean towards the dog. I'd probably like Wisconsin a little better.
Before we get you to Thursday night football tonight, PJ, any other of your favorites on the college football slate? Like what can we not miss here?
Yeah, so the LSU Texas A&M game, probably my favorite game of the week. I was telling you guys at LSU, they really haven't beaten anybody this season. But everybody kind of knows that who follows college football, and they're a 2.5-point dog at home against Texas A&M. To me, this game is very similar to the Red River game a couple weeks ago when Oklahoma was favored, just like A&M is. Texas had the 2 losses, just like LSU does. And Texas needed a win to save their season. They were the desperate team, and LSU's in the same spot. And I don't think we're really talking enough about just how hard it is to go into Death Valley and win a game at night. Bama's the only team I would trust to do that. Everybody else, if you give me plus money with LSU, I'm going to take that. So I like the Tigers at home this week. A&M, there are 2 road games this season. They won 41-40 and 48-45. They've won shootouts on the road. I promise you they're not scoring 40 on the road at LSU. So what do they look like when they face some adversity on offense? What do they look like when they have to win a game in the 20s on the road? I'll pay to find out. I like LSU in that one, you guys. And then another SEC game, I like Tennessee on the road this week against Kentucky. The last 3 SEC games for Kentucky, they've failed to reach 14 points. Tennessee has scored 28 or more in the last 4 matchups against Kentucky. So Heupel's offenses have been very good in this matchup. I see the magic number of 27. I think if Tennessee can get to 27, I don't see Kentucky getting to 17. And then Tennessee obviously covers the 9. So the Vols I like and LSU I like this week as well.
PJ, we'll take it to the NFL tonight. It's Carson Wentz versus an offensive line that is 1 injury away from calling you to have to suit up for him. Vikings, Chargers favored by just over a field goal. Both teams have their woes. Who has less?
Yeah, I like the Vikings plus the points. I wanted to bet the under in this game, but only if McCarthy suited up, because I was looking forward to McCarthy going up against his former coaching staff from Michigan. Obviously, when Harbaugh was there, Minter was there. But now that you have Wentz, it kind of throws a wrinkle in that. I would still lean towards the under, though, just because both defenses got shredded a little bit in their last games. But I like Minnesota plus the 3.5. You know, you're getting a team that is coming off a home loss, short week. But you mentioned it, TJ, it's the injuries for the Chargers. I was watching that Colts-Chargers game, and even J.J. Watt was talking about it. That was one of those games where they were forced early to abandon the run and just kind of throw, and it turned into a long game when guys were getting beat up. Like, that is not what you want on a short week. So maybe L.A. wins the game. If you're going to give me 3.5, though, I'm going to take it with Minnesota. So I'll take the Vikings plus the points.
PJ Glasser here with us, our betting insider. I want to ask about your Baltimore Ravens, PJ. Is now the time to hammer? Assuming Lamar plays 6.5 at home against the Bears?
You know, I'm leaning Chicago, but I want a 7 with the Bears. And the reason being, everybody's just talking about how the Ravens are just going to go on a roll now. Lamar was back at practice yesterday. The team is getting healthy. I kind of view the Ravens as like the opposite of Indianapolis this year. We all keep waiting for the other shoe to drop with Indy because of what we've seen with Daniel Jones, and it's just not happening. Like, we just have to accept the Colts are a good team. Their offense is really good. Because how good the Ravens have been in the regular season the last few years, because of how good Lamar is, we just keep waiting for the Ravens to turn it around, and I'm not convinced it's going to happen. So, you know, the Bears have won 4 in a row. All they're hearing all week is how they're going to get smoked, and this is a must-win game for the Ravens, and they got all their guys back. I'm waiting for a 7, seeing if we can get there. If we do, I would look at Chicago. The Ravens probably win. I think they're safe. You want to use them in a money line parlay, but you know, the idea that they're going to just roll and win by double digits, 20 points, I'm not convinced. So I would lean Chicago plus points.
PJ, we'll go to the Chiefs. Monday Night Football. No Jaden Daniels coming to Arrowhead. We're going to see the Marcus Mariota rematch against the Chiefs from the days of the Titans whenever he broke some hearts. Chiefs are favored by just under 2 touchdowns. That's back-to-back big lines. How much stock do you take in what they did against the Raiders?
Yeah, I'm not stepping in front of that train again, fellas. My Raiders bet was over in about the first 5 minutes. You know, they came out, they scored, or the Raiders had the ball first. I think they got a first down. I was like, okay, then they had to punt it away, and then Mahomes and that offense did whatever they want. So they're clearly rolling. The offense is back. They look like the Chiefs again. And not only do you worry about the Commanders' offense in this game without Jaden, but the defense has been looking really, really bad too. So, you know, I think it's telling you a lot that this is essentially the same spread as what it was against the Raiders last week. So the Chiefs are rolling. Would not step in front of that train right now. And they know they got to keep winning games, right? Because obviously Indy's got a head start on them right now. They're trying to get that 1 seed, 2 seed. They got to keep pace in the AFC. So they got to win these games they're supposed to win. I haven't bet it yet, but it would only be Kansas City for me.
I want to ask you about one more because we do have, I think, just a little bit of time to squeeze this one in. So the Giants just dominated the Eagles. The Giants were dominating Denver before that fourth quarter. They have looked really good with Jackson Dart. Is a 7.5-point line for the Eagles a little strange to you? Like if the Giants don't have that fourth quarter from hell in that game, do you think this is a 7.5-point line? I guess my question is that an Eagles thing or is that a Giants thing that it's gotten that big?
It's totally a Giants thing. If they would have won that game by 2 scores, would have taken care of business like they should have, this line's probably 5.5. But look, in the NFL, generally, you want to fade teams off of emotional losses, right? Because then you got to get back on the plane. Nobody's talking to each other. You wonder psychologically what that week of practice is going to be like. Are they still kind of mulling over that loss? And if you're the Giants, like, how are you not? I mean, like we were seeing videos of those guys walking back into the locker room, just ticked off. Dable's throwing the headset after the game. They looked demoralized. So you combine that with what you were saying, Jacob, about how they just beat this team a couple weeks ago. This does feel like a good get-right game for the Eagles. The offense started to hit some explosive plays against Minnesota, should be able to do the same thing against the Giants, but it feels like all of that youthful energy and that juice that Dart and Scadabo were bringing them over the last couple weeks kind of just got let go after that loss against Denver. So I'm really interested to see what the Giants do and how they show up, but this line is definitely a reflection of that, and I could only look at the Eagles in this game.
There you go, PJ.
Go ahead, PJ.
I was going to say the same thing you're going to say. Big weekend of football. What else you got? What's your favorites?
It's a tough week, you guys, because there are so many big spreads. You know, the last couple of weeks, we've had so many games that are like a field goal or less. This week, we have so many teams that are like 7 or more. I'll go to Sunday night. I like the Steelers plus 3. That is just such a Tomlin spot. You know, they're coming off the bad loss against Cincinnati on Thursday. They're back at home where he's an underdog, obviously, of Rodgers going up against Green Bay. So a ton of narratives. I also just want to keep fading Green Bay on the road. They have looked so unimpressive so far. Outright loss at Cleveland, tie against Dallas, could have lost to Arizona this past week. So I don't know what's going up on with Green Bay. They are not a very good team right now on the road. They're going to a tough place to play, especially at night. So I'll take the 3 with the Steelers at home, and I think there's a good chance they win that game.
I don't know if there's an official stat for it, but it feels like Aaron Rodgers would be good in stick-it-to-you games.
I would think so.
And yeah, this is a stick-it-to-you game. PJ Glasser, host of Send It In the the betting lines on BetMGM Network. PJ, we appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Yep. Thanks, fellas. Good luck this week.
There goes PJ Glasser. Let's all make a little money if you do so indulge, which has been an interesting back and forth with the news that we're following today. That a couple of NBA guys, including a head coach, are in trouble. Now, again, the reporting on the head coach that's come down a little later is that it has something to do with a poker game and the mafia. So I don't know what that means just yet. Terry Rozier's doesn't seem like that. Maybe they're related. This is it's a fascinating one. But it is what it is, and we'll see what comes down here at the top of the hour. Probably something we've got to talk about tomorrow. TJ, because I don't know that we'll get the information, but we're keeping an eye on it. We'll ask Fitz about not necessarily that, but this college thing, because I don't, man, I'm trying to find a reason that I would say, yeah, it's probably fine, but I don't know that I can find one. It's hard. We are joined now by K-State insider, gopowercat.com, Tim Fitzgerald. Fitz, how are you this morning?
I am wonderful. How are you, gentlemen?
We're good. We're going to get ready for the Sunflower Showdown. I want to ask you first, though, about the news of the day, kind of. We've seen, and we're waiting for more information, a couple of betting scandals now for the NBA, potentially. Or maybe with Chauncey Billups, it has something to do with poker. I don't know. But the college news comes down that they're going to let college athletes basically bet pro sports. We have mentioned this before on a day where we sort of get the highlighting of some of the dangers with sports betting. Where do you stand with this? TJ brought up the point that it sounds like it's more of a how would they ever enforce them not doing it when everybody else on campus, I guess, can do it. I don't like it, but I don't know how they could stop it either.
Yeah, I think I've never understood why, as an example, a college athlete could not bet on an auto race or something like that, in which there's no worldly possibility they have influence unless it's some random connection that anyone might have. I've never understood it. Now, I like that they've done it blanket with college sports, but it has to come with some teeth then if they catch them doing college or pro sports, and they has to have teeth if they're going to bet on college sports. It can't be it has to be kind of career ending at that point in terms of college career. You're not going to stop it in some ways, so you might as well allow some of it.
It's fair. Fitz, let's talk about some K-State. Yesterday, Big 12 media days for basketball, but we'll start with football because the biggest story, obviously, the Sunflower Showdown this weekend. Going to KU. KU favored for the first time since 2009 in this thing. We just talked to our betting insider, and I said that I completely see a world where KU should be favored in this game, but wouldn't be shocked in the slightest if something weird happened and K-State found a way to win it at the last second, like we've seen for like three straight years at this point. What's your vibe going into Saturday?
I've kind of got a mixed vibe because, if both teams were rolling out of a previous game, I'd have a better feel, but there's so many intangibles with this when you throw in the bye week. And I don't recall, I'm sure it's happened, both schools being off, coming off a bye. So I think that's a little bit an odd factor. And K-State was playing pretty well. K-State went into the bye feeling good, and KU went in, after getting slapped around pretty good. And does that mean anything after a bye? I don't know. I think the line being, 2.5 or whatever in favor of KU, I think it's appropriate. I think if the game was in Manhattan, it might be the other way. But I think the betting lines are now seeing a home field advantage for KU they haven't always had. So it's going to be a heck of a game, and it's totally unpredictable. It really is, and I still don't really have a feel for it. If I had to sit here, if you push me right now, I'd probably say KU wins.
So here's what I look at, Fitz. Like, KU has one of the country's worst run defenses this year. Right. I think they're ranked like 118th in the country. So that's the point you attack. But now we also know K-State's not going to have most likely Dylan Edwards, and they've struggled to run the ball without Dylan Edwards. So you have this clear flaw and deficiency on the KU defensive side, but can K-State even attack that flaw? I know they'll try, but can they?
That's a great point. And that's probably why it's a good thing they won last time without Dylan, and they ran the ball adequately. We know that KU can give up gobs of yardage on the ground, and if they can't take advantage of that in any way, they're going to lose. That's just a football reality. Whether it's a bad run defense or not, you got to be able to establish a run. And you're right. That's the number one thing Kansas State has to be able to do is run the ball and run it with Avery too.
Fitz, speaking of running the ball, yesterday we get the first injury report for the game. Dylan Edwards is listed as out for this one. It's a weird season for Dylan Edwards. It's been a real lingering injury, and a lot of a lot of questions, and week to week, it feels like it may get worse. It may get better. It seems like it's gotten worse the past couple of weeks. Do you think that we'll see Dylan play again this year because of this ankle injury? I mean, how bad is it, if you have any idea?
I don't. I mean, you go back and look at the initial injury in Ireland. He missed 2 weeks and then tried to play in the third. And now he's missed 2 weeks and he's out for the third. So he's apparently more injured now than he was initially. I think there's probably a lot more going on here, but I think the K-State locker room needs to, and coaching staff needs to stop worrying whether Dylan's in or out, and prepare without him. And you find a role for him if he does come back to play.
Yeah, we'll see there. What else? So what about through the air then? How does K-State stop Jalen Daniels, who is been vintage Jalen Daniels, as good as he ever has? He's outstanding, and it all starts with him on that KU offense.
He's been really good this year, guys. And if you go back last year, most of their troubles, I hate stacking it on him, were a direct result of the turnovers that he seemed to solve. So they're going to have to make him uncomfortable, and that's another factor here. We're talking about area kids. Toby Osunsami's lost for the season, and that's your best pass rusher. Mm-hmm. So there's some factors here that don't work in K-State's favor. There's no doubt they're going to have to find a way to get pressure and make him uncomfortable while also not letting him escape the pocket and run because he's so dangerous.
Fitz, it's going to be a ton of fun. Let's talk about basketball for a second. Big 12 Media Days the past couple of days. A lot of attention on P.J. Haggerty yesterday. Coach Tang said he's the best point guard in the country. What do you think of P.J. Haggerty going into the basketball season?
Everything I'm hearing about him is everything that's been missing in terms of a guy coming in and immediately trying to lead and leading. I think there's a lot more connection with these players than there have been for the past two seasons. Now, does that translate to wins? Probably, but I got to see it to believe it. I know that the coaches have a different, for lack of a better way to say it, a pep in their step. They seem pretty excited about this group. And I think the addition of Matthew Driscoll to the coaching staff has been a revelation. I think he's really helped kind of sculpt what this offense will be about and been a good counterbalance in there with other ideas about how to play the game of basketball.
We had Wyatt Thompson on earlier this week, Fitz. He thinks that Andre Kostic could be as good a shooter as K-State's ever had. Have you been hearing the same kind of thing?
Yeah, but I'll be honest, it's been in a cacophony of many other things I've heard about players that seem to have a huge upside. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now with this team. And based on what Coach Driscoll did at North Florida offensively, this is going to be a fun team to watch. They're going to get up and down and attack opposing defenses, which has always been my problem. You've got to attack them in the Big 12 and try to get to them before they can get comfortable.
Another major, you know, national news talking point that was a big thing at Big 12 Media Days that we talked about at the beginning of the show about 2 hours ago. A lot of talk about the G League debate. Louisville picked up a guy that just played in the G League and added him to their roster, and he was granted 2 years of eligibility from the NCAA. You know, people asked Coach Tang about it, and Coach Tang said, "I'm not going to knock anything because if they're eligible to play, I'm going to go get them." You know, but you know, from a personal standpoint, I know like Bill Self said, he's like, "I mean, I agree. I'm going to try to go get them if they're able to play. They're going to be awesome." But you know, what are we doing here? You know, like why are we taking away from the recruiting of high school kids, of transfer portal kids, to go get guys that decided they wanted to go play pro basketball? It's a weird area because I brought up, you know, the guys that play overseas are technically professionals as well. Yep. You know, where is college recruiting with all this stuff going?
Based on everything you just said, there's no way they can rule them ineligible. They've been allowing players to get paid. I mean, even the NCAA players that are transferring have already broken the barrier of what we normally would think a professional athlete is. So, yeah, I guess there's no way you can stop it, but I agree with Bill Self. They made a business decision not to play college basketball. I think we really are going to crowd out a lot of young players that might develop into something pretty good but just won't even have an opportunity at this level.
Or if the opportunity comes as they're juniors because they've had to go to a smaller school to start. I don't. The only thing with it is, though, how do you differentiate it from the international players?
Yeah, I agree. It's never made sense. I mean, that's essentially what they're doing, is they're playing for a club. You know, it's not much different than the developmental league.
Yeah, man, it's a tough spot. I got to stew on that one. I don't have a good take on it. I really don't. Like, because I don't know how you differentiate. And I don't want to see the international players go away. I've kind of liked that infusion, to be perfectly honest.
No, I think I'm kind of like you. It's like, this is not adding up in my brain, and yet it will add up. I'm trying to make sense of it.
All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going at Go Power Cat for us ahead of the Sunflower Showdown?
We got the K-State pregame show releasing on YouTube at 10 a.m., drops on Go Power Cat 11. We'll have our regular lineup of coverage coming, along with plenty of football recruiting from my guy Cole Carmody. I'll have three guys over in Lawrence for covering the game.
Can't wait. Here we go. This time next week, it'll be in the books. Where are you? Are you picking K-State? Like, where is your lean?
My lean's KU. Yeah. I'm getting close to just going ahead and picking them, because I've never hidden the fact that I think Jalen Daniels is a whale of a quarterback. And if he's going to play like this, I think it's going to give K-State a lot of problems.
All right. Fitz, be good. Enjoy it. A couple days here. We'll have it in the books.
Thanks, boys.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald, gopowercat.com, getting us ready for the Sunflower Showdown. It's almost here. I think I'm with Fitz, and I wasn't to begin with. I was lean K-State. I've sort of started to lean KU, but man, something in my gut, TJ, is telling me the streak's gonna survive this. I can't even define it, man. Like, I don't. It's that close. This should be.
I really think if K-State is gonna win this game, Avery Johnson will have 500 all-purpose yards, which will be an insane game to watch. I think that it's going to be a shootout, and I think there's no question about that in my brain. There's going to be so many points scored in this game.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me pause on that is, like, can K-State run the ball? And like, there's two ways to look at it. It would be, well, they're playing one of the worst run defenses they've played, so they ought to be able to run it more effectively than they have all year, even without Dylan Edwards, right? But then they don't have Dylan Edwards to attack this thing that KU has struggled with. And then defensively, you better hope you can get to Jalen Daniels. Like, you can't let him chunk play you to death with those fast wide receivers. I'm having a hard time with it.
There's going to be a lot of chunk plays. I'll say that. I know. I bet Emmanuel Henderson's going to score a touchdown. I bet Jaron Brantley's going to score a touchdown. I bet that Avery Johnson's going to score a touchdown. There's going to be a lot of money made in this game. To bring it back, an all-encompassing subject of this radio show, there's going to be a lot of money made on this game.
It's such a weird thing. Like, you hate that there are bad actors. We love, like, the wrinkle that it adds. It's like fantasy football, right? Fantasy football is not all that different when you're talking about player props, which is typically what I bet anyway, is player props. Like, should we shut down fantasy football now? Like, what are we doing here? That'll do it. Fun show, interesting show, thought compelling show when it comes to the sports wagering stuff. Even though we don't really know yet if the arrest or sports wagering, we're told ABC again reporting that the Billups arrest has to do with a poker game. So we're going to get some more information on this, and we will have it to talk about tomorrow. We'll try to dissect it and understand it a little better then. Thanks to Paul Mills. Thanks to Tim Fitzgerald. Thanks to PJ Glasser. If you missed anything with any of our guests today, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Tomorrow, we will make our picks. The full gang is in. We'll talk a little high school football, which that coverage on Sports Daily is brought to you by Zintex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. TJ, looking forward to it. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Gonna be a bunch of fun. I'll get my picks ready. I could use a positive week.
Bye, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
It's QB week. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson, Minnesota's J.J. McCarthy, and Arizona's Kyle Murray are all expected to be back in action for each of their squads after missing time with injury.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates. Presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay. But not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.